the division of the kingdom of Israel in our walk as Christians, in our study of the Word of God, is very significant, isn't it? It's a big turning point in the history or in the redemption history. It's something that will have ramification, will have really big results. So, because obviously something divided will be weakened, isn't it? So it's broken up into small groups. At a time where there were strong kingdoms around, and destroying, attacking the kingdom that has the ordinances, has the word of God, and people called to follow God and have the mandate to make His name known. Such a people like that, if they are weakened, that is disastrous, isn't it? It's just like in our days today, if the church really is defeated and is weakened, it can have also ramification and bad results, isn't it? The society will decay, and that is why you see all these things like addictions and crime, unkindness, all sorts of things, unpleasant things. They are the results of the absence of God in whatever context. And so sometimes we take these things lightly, like the division of the kingdom of Israel was not something simple, really. And that is one thing. One thing I want to say is, how do you stop bushfires? Certainly when I was growing up in South Sudan as a young boy, even as a young boy, we were told how to really stop to avoid having bushfires or even the grass on the grass, because we tend to have like very dry summers, and if any bush, any fire, will burn up all really the grass for the cattle, and people were relying heavily on these things, yeah, for milk and meat and everything, and even their marriages settling, even disputes. These are the money in bank, you know, so. So it's in a sense, so we were told how to avoid this. And so how can you avoid that? By keeping the fire away, isn't it? Well, the division of the kingdom of Israel could have been stopped if people were careful not to avoid the causes that would lead to the division of the kingdom. And I think it is a very big lesson to us, because once something is started, really it will have lasting impact or effect. We've seen this. It has gone on for years and brought really a great kingdom into ruin. And that will go for a long time. But God always does that. So I think when I was looking at this, I was looking at the life of Solomon. Solomon, things began with Solomon himself. A man who's supposed to love God, and he started really well by asking wisdom in chapter 11. Nevertheless, this man, he failed. He failed. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. When he was told in the first place that he was told not to marry, because if I read just like for 1 minute, really quickly, the King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women beside Pharaoh's daughter. And he begins really with the head of Satan. You see, Pharaoh is a symbol of Satan. Pharaoh. And then he starts really off with the head of the kingdom of Satan. That is why the Bible says he loved many foreign wives besides Pharaoh's daughter. You see, And these people from whom he got women or wives, Moabites. And Moabites are descendants of Moab. And Moab was a son of Lot with his daughter, oldest daughter. And those people, they just like drifted from God, and so they worship other gods. And so here this man just attaching himself with these ones. And we know that any coexistence between light and darkness is forbidden in the scripture. That is why when young people getting married, they are told to avoid getting unbelievers with them. So here, this is what happens. They were from nations about which the Lord had told Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely, not just they might, but they were told they will surely, surely. This is a true word of God. Whatever he says will come. And we see God will fulfill his promise. And he is not reluctant to move into doing things. But we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we repent and truly cry out and come to Jesus and ask for his precious blood, he can just set us free and wash us from that. So surely will turn your hearts after their gods. And a heart that is turned away from God can never be healthy again, can never bring glory to God, and you can never have blessings with God. And that is why King David says, search me, O God, if there is any wicked ways in me, turn me to the way eternal. This is the beginning of keeping the fire away from the bush, or keeping away bushfires, or stopping them. But here we see, that is what he has done, this man. And the Bible says, as Solomon grew old, verse 4, chapter 11, grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. So these wives, they were devoted to their gods, and they were very strong. You see, and so they persuaded this man. He got a duty of care, isn't it, to provide for his 1,000 wives. You see, 703. He got a duty of care. So he had to build shrines for them. Like that. And when you do that, you are caught up red-handed, isn't it? You are involved. You are involved in the worship. Otherwise, if you don't want to do anything to do with the kingdom, even something to give them a bit of glory, you are to abstain from that. And we can never help Satan to even for a second. We, as those who have come out of this kingdom of darkness, we are not to tamper with it by all means. Not even like, you know, they said the magic. Here, this is just for entertainment in this country, isn't it? But you see, like toys, like how you go, magic made simple. I saw something like that. Rubbish bin. Magic made simple. So who would want to just tamper with magic, even if it's just a joke? So it's a bad joke. After all, there's no good joke. Yeah, this man, he tried this, and it's bad. And so the word of God is here to teach us to be strong and courageous and to cry out for mercy, to obey the Lord. Well, this man's heart was turn away. So his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. David made mistakes, isn't it? And so David, but yet God is still saying there must be something here. David was weak. He is weak like all of us. And yet there was something that was so unique about him. And that he was so clear about what he was called to do, isn't it? He was so clear about what a man he should be. And that what really matters to God. Because he was just always aware of this. And whenever he was confronted, so he repented. There were no innocents here where we are told like Solomon repented. No repentance. And no repentance, and then there will be judgment. But repentance, God is merciful and kind and gracious, isn't it? This is the God we worship. He's a good God. Whenever we repent, so he forgives. Especially when we seek him with all of our hearts and we ask him to deliver us from that. So that is our thought, just to remind you of this. There's nothing happens really by chance. And it's a big warning, a great warning to all of us, that we are not to sit over things that will cause really in the future disasters. We tend to tell people to say things, bad things to people. You see, I had an Old Testament professor who used to say, if you come and you break someone's legs, they may get healed, you know. But if you say something to them, really that can hurt them for a long time. So we can forget, but again, the brain or the mind is independent, has power. Our brain doesn't take permission from us to remember things or to forget things. It functions by itself. You see? And so sometimes we remember bad things done against us. And we wish that that was not done against us, isn't it? But like David, when we repent and then the Lord helps us. So that is why, A, we were called to keep our tongue really clean, because they can divide a kingdom. And a kingdom that is divided can never stand. So we are called to be a unified kingdom, a kingdom like the Israel. So, well, this man, he just got it wrong altogether. And now he is all enough. And then his children are going to succeed him. And his son is going to, Rehoboam is going to be the king. And then eventually the king dies, or he died. Well, I want to just briefly share with you the causes of the division are given to us here. The whole reading, 1 to 24, like that. But I will just focus on 16 to 24. The breaking up. But if we read 1 to 5, we find that the request of Israel to Rehoboam was so normal, isn't it? Was legitimate. Yeah, this man who ran away, Jeroboam, he was a leader of his own people, like 10 tribes in the northern part of Israel. So when he heard that Solomon died, because he got into trouble with him and he ran to Egypt, you see, and then he heard that Solomon died and then he came back. So he was desiring to have another beginning with this new king, you see. But Rehoboam, he was not wise enough to seize the opportunity to look for the well-being of the whole nation of God. So this man, he tried. He did the best. He did his best to come and ask. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all the Israelites had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, sons of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt, where he had left. He had fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." You see, so they were giving him his word. And so that was a request. So things began with the request. And the request like this shows, can reveal the pride of the person. And also he's a failure. He's not a good king too. You see, these people, they come humble and they ask him, "Please, let us work together. We will serve you. But do not provoke us to actions. We are the stakeholders also." You see, we are part of Israel. Well, and you know that these people, Samaria is going to be their capital. And Samaria come from the word Shamir, Shamrom, and to keep. And Shamir, or Samaria. So as they were saying, we are the true keepers of the law. They have the claim as well. So the answer was not good. So 1 to 5, they were really the reasons why the request was given to the king, but he refused. And then what was his answer? So see, from 6 to 15, he gave really a very bad response. You see, the response was not good. So 6, then the king Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" You see, sometimes even in our day today, I heard a man, he contacted a leader, he asked him about something, and he went and he did the opposite. He was told not to do something. You see, and he went and he did the opposite. And then I said, why in the first place he consulted this man? Why he asked if he was not going to say to do what he advised him? He said, "How would you advise me to answer these people?" Because the king, Rehoboam, he consulted these people and he asked them. He said, and these people, they were not just only any people. people who were there, they saw everything, and then they can really testify to the fact that Solomon really mistreated these people or no. And so here, they can give him the advice. If they are truly people of integrity, they will give the right advice. You see? And now, these people, what they say? They replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. See? So here the Holy Spirit is here. God is behind this. See, God is God of mercy, giving this man a chance to keep the kingdom. You see? You see? So these people, in the first place they came, they asked things. They didn't even talk to the elders. They came, they went straight away to the king, and they told him what really they saw in their heart that could be a buffer that will keep the kingdom together. And that was the same thing the Holy Spirit laid on the hearts of the elders. So that is not a one-man band. Being part of God's people or doing something glorious with God, he will lay it also on the hearts of other people. It's the same. God is impartial. You see? So you will see it. You will test things yourself. If something is not genuine, it's not of God, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you will know that. And so these people, they say the same thing. But Rehoboam rejected the advice, and then he sought the advice of younger men who were not there, who were not careful, they were not observing what was happening. Even some of them maybe were not born at that time. You see? So Rehoboam just wanted to please himself. And you know, God is behind this as well. God knows all these things. God knows these people are proud. And God said he is going to punish. He said he is going to tear the kingdom. Already God has made his decision. And yet again, he was looking, was exposing the hearts of these people. You see? So I think you can read the response. The response was very bad. Because these are where his friends, verse 10, the young men who had grown up with him replied, tell these people who have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father's laid on you a heavy yoke, I will make it even heavier. My father has scourged you with whips, I will scourge you with scorpions. Just imagine if you say something like that to someone who is really wanting to walk with you. They can't be your friends. They can't be your friends. Three days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam. As the king had said, come back to me in 3 days. The king answered the people with the same thing. So the king, verse 15, so the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord, as I said earlier, to fulfill the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah, the Shilonite. Because actually this man, he met Jeroboam and he told him, like, look, we are going to take the 10 tribes. When all Israel, verse 16, when all Israel, that is a revolt, when all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, what share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, O Israel, look after your own house, O David. So the Israelites went home, but as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. King Rehoboam sent out Adoniram, who was in the charge of forced labor, and put all the Israelites stoned him to death. King Rehoboam, however, managed to get into his chariots and escape to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellions against the house of David to this day. Well, now we see the kingdom has been divided already. And if we just flip over to the New Testament and the reading that we have, a kingdom that is divided against itself cannot stand. Later on, they will be sent into exile. They will be defeated by their enemies. And then the kingdom will be left in ruin. And so what is the lesson that we have from this today? What can we learn from this when we have a situation like this? Well, Jesus himself, when he has healed a boy, the Bible says, then they brought him a demon-possessed man, a man possessed by demon, who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. So this man has been healed by Jesus, and then the Pharisees, who were opponents of Christ, they suggested that Jesus was healing with the power of Satan. And then Jesus said, if Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. And if and the house that is divided against itself cannot stand, how then can his kingdom stand if he is divided? And so today Jesus is just teaching, giving us a lesson, because these people they use these terms. Baal Zebub is Zebub means flies. Actually, it's the Lord of flies, just belittling Christ. And so that is what they're saying. But Jesus said, if a kingdom is divided against itself, can never stand, because the power lies in unity. And unity under whom? Unity under God, you know? So here, because we have two powers, here Jesus says he is not divided. You see, with his Father, his power is mighty. He keeps the unity with his Father. But Satan also keeps his unity, you know. But if he is divided, he will fall. You see, and only one who is stronger than him can defeat him. That is why Jesus, he says, if you want to really destroy a kingdom like this, you have to just like bind a strong man. So Jesus was able really to bind a strong man, the demons and the kingdom of darkness. He conquered the kingdom of darkness, and he was setting people free. And here he uses this language of division and unity, something Israel failed to do. And I think it's something for us also here, that the kingdom of Jesus Christ will never be powerful, even in our day, if his people are divided. And also they are not observing the causes that may lead into really the division of the body of Christ. And these are more important than anything else, like to keep Satan at bay, to keep him away. And that is a halfway through for victory, isn't it? Before I say anything bad that my wife will struggle with or my husband will struggle with, I have to keep it. And then to bear it once and for all. You see, and not to try to do that. And so don't mistreat someone so that you go later on and you want to reconcile him. In the first place, love one another, the Bible says. And so be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is why we are encouraged, so that we keep the fire from the bush. It is very important that we do this and we spend time in the small things that leads into big things. These small things are so important, you see, to a life that is so effective in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Keeping unity is so important. It's not just a unity we keep at the expense of the truth. You see, no, it's not like that. It won't be a unity. You see, but it's a unity that was suggested to these people. The elders, they said to Rehoboam, they said, be gentle with these people and you serve them. You don't look after your own interests. And I think most of the time things really go wrong when people in a group like this, you begin to look after your own interests. Especially in the body of Jesus Christ, it's where you look after the interests of your brothers and sisters in your prayers and in many ways, even in your attitude. Because you want to build them up. So that is the reason we are put together. That was our sister Eileen was sharing with us. Being connected really will defeat really the kingdom of darkness and bringing things on us. You see? That is true. I got a book by one of the counselors. It's an addiction. It's a book about addiction. And a huge, many books around those things. So we are to invest in the small things. We are to invest in our relationship. Something Rehoboam failed to do, even Solomon failed to do, because he didn't have time. Really, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. His heart was not after God. And just imagine you have that responsibility. It's terrible. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So the desires of God is we make His kingdom known. This is what I want to finish with. God wants us to make His kingdom known. And He wants to manifest this. And He wants to make His kingdom known through His coming, His presence with His own people, in His own people, isn't it? I was visiting Neville the other day, and he was struggling really to be awake, and I was just staying there persevering, and then just suddenly just the Lord just touched him, and we were sharing, and our hearts were just flowing. We were just so blown away, and it's just incredible when God comes on His own people. And we were just there, and His eyes were just like wide, and His heart, He was just laughing all the time, joy, the words He was speaking, it's just incredible. So that is what one God wants to do in our midst. He wants to flow. How many gathering today, you can't even sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. Even there is no joy of the Lord rejoicing over the Word of God. Even like a wonderful conversation between Christians themselves. It's divided. It's a very divided community. No. We are called to exercise the power of the kingdom of Jesus Christ if we are united. But if we are divided, you see, we will be like the kingdom of Israel. You see, we will be assailed by Satan and the demons. They can do anything, whatever they want. Yeah. So Jesus uses this illustration and says, again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? So we have the grace to bind up the strong man. And through prayers, through faith, through the love for God and love for one another, and also a clear mind that we want to keep the fire away, really, from the bush. And the bush is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we there are lessons. I want to dwell really greatly on these chapters and really to have more insight into this. Because if we get this right, that will help us even in our work as Christians, will help us even in our gospel ministry, will help us even in our families. You see, how to raise up our children, how to turn things around. Let me